soccer team winners today in the quarterfinals of the NSIC tournament 2-0. Their head coach, Jim Stone, joins us. Coach, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
So, two penalty kicks. You hardly ever see penalty kicks in the first 90 minutes. Usually you see those kicks in after an overtime. But what was going through your mind, especially in that first one, just to give the people listening an idea, Mason Schilling had a great rush offensively, got tangled up with the goalkeeper. She goes head over heels. It was a bit scary there for you for a little bit there. But Mason got up and she was fine the rest of the game. But what was going through your head at that point when you knew you might have lost one of your best players?
Yeah, that was scary. And, there's always a concern when someone goes down. And, so you're hoping for the best. And it was a great play. It kind of, Mason had made kind of a diagonal run, and Allie Smith had played a straight ball through. We always talk in soccer about, either diagonal run or diagonal ball, and usually not a combination of both. But, a great run, and she slipped them behind, and Mason took the perfect first touch and rounded the keeper and then smack. So, yeah.
That was good to see her get back up. And, of course, then you get the penalty kick, Erin Becker. She is just the most poised, calm penalty kicker I've ever seen.
Yeah, she has the right mentality for it. She has a really unique mentality where she's tenacious, but there's a kind of a calmness and an even keel to her that's pretty rare, and she doesn't get too nervy. So, yeah, she has the goods to step up and make that happen.
Well, obviously, defensively, you've been as strong as you could possibly be. I mean, you only gave up, 11 goals all season long?
Yeah.
11 goals.
Yeah, so, they're coming along, and they're playing pretty well defensively right now. So, hopefully, that continues.
Another shutout, right? And you've had plenty of those. What's the key to all of that? I mean, obviously, you guys have been very successful at keeping the opponents off the board. And if you do that, obviously, you're going to win a lot of games like you have.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think, the key is having great players.
That helps, yeah.
They make me look pretty good. But, I think, one of the things we've talked about, and I think I maybe mentioned this to Kelly earlier, is just getting everyone to buy in defensively, and also it's not just the goalkeepers in your back line that are taking pride in a shutout, but all 11 are, and kind of that mindset, we defend with 11 and we attack with 11, and we've tried to really install that, and especially the last five or six games, we talked about kind of making a push defensively. So it's good to see, and hopefully it continues.
Well, your team has been averaging that 2.44 goals per game offensively, outscoring your opponents 44-11. Today, your team couldn't score like a regular offensive rush.
Right.
I talked to Sarah Wendt in the post game, and she said it was super frustrating, especially for her. She's got, 17 goals on the season?
Yeah.
What does your team need to do to change that, obviously, on Friday?
Well, I think, some of that's a little bit deceiving, because with both those penalty kicks, if the foul doesn't happen, for sure on Mason, mm-hmm. she rounds the keeper and rolls it into open net, and Cade's going to have a really good chance to score on her. So I think the key is always just creating opportunities. And as long as we're creating opportunities, sooner or later one's going to go in. And so from a kind of a creation standpoint in terms of how we are attacking today, I was pleased.
Weather-wise, how is it? I mean, it seemed like it was pretty chilly and windy, not exactly ideal soccer weather.
No, it definitely wasn't busy. I don't know what kind of weather it was. It's going to be snowman weather here pretty soon.
Right.
But,
is that a good sign, Coach, in any fall sport, especially in this part of the country? The longer you play, the nastier the weather gets. So you want to be playing when it's like this. That means you've had a good season, right?
Absolutely. we would literally talk about that in preseason. We talk about we want to be playing when it's cold.
As you're practicing in 90-degree heat.
Exactly, as we're dealing with heat stroke, right?
Yeah.
So, but no, that's actually part of the discussion. And
come tournament
about.
Time, I'd imagine, hypothetically, if you're playing, say, Central Florida State or something in the Final Four, and it's up here, too bad for them.
Right. That's the hope of, hosting that, we're going to be a little bit more comfortable in the elements than they are. you know, to some, and to some degree, I think that's true. However, cold is cold, you know, and but hot is hot.
I mean,
so.
Technology's come a long ways, though. I mean, the clothing that people have to wear now that can keep them warm,
yeah,
you know, the Under Armour type style or whatever,
right.
It's come a long ways from when, I mean, we would have to wear like 10 layers to have any.
Right, you get the wool out.
And, yeah, and you weigh like another 50 pounds,
right,
where this stuff,
yeah.
At least you can remain a little bit more nimble, right?
Yeah, yeah, and Tracy's actually added some heat into the locker rooms for us, which is awesome. So, yeah, there are things to make it manageable. They got those, you know, foot warmers, those hand warmers.
Hand warmers, absolutely.
Yeah, I had those feet warmers in the day. I thought my feet were going to burn. So I was like, I was pretty toasty. I had three pairs of pants on. And
one pair of socks and those heat. You don't even need socks if you're wearing those
right,
things. Sometimes
right.
They're that warm.
Is the next step maybe to ask Warren Buffett for a retractable dome?
Oh, man. Yeah. Warren
that'd
Buffett,
nice.
If you're out there.
Yeah, that'd be nice, right?
We'd love that.
He's a regular listener to the huddle.
No,
no, he's not.
No,
okay.
No.
Well,
not at all.
It's been a lot of fun. Obviously, Jim, you've been here since the inception of this program, really. And to see it come this far, obviously, you've gotten established now as a really strong program. This is your, what, second undefeated season? Fifth consecutive playoff hosting?
Third, but yeah.
Third undefeated season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just phenomenal. It's got to make you pretty proud. It doesn't get any easier, I'm guessing, but it makes you pretty proud to where you've got this program.
Yeah, just really humbled and just appreciative and thankful for all the people that have come around this program and helped us push it forward, and just feel really blessed to be in this position. And, all of our alumni and just the support we've received is – just incredible.
Coach, how does it help in recruiting to now have a base you can point to tangibly and say, hey, we've done this, we've built on this, we want you to be a part of this, as opposed to selling something brand new?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a different sales pitch. I think they were both honest pitches, you know, before it was kind of, you know, but even with our team right now, you know, we're talking about let's, you know, because it's always special to do something for the first time. A couple of years back, I had an alumni parent, and well, at the time she was just a player parent, and had reminded me of what I said when we were recruiting her, and it was between us and another school that was kind of a top 25 powerhouse, and I guess I had said, well, you know, because they kind of asked about what's the future going to look like, and I said, well, I can't promise a championship, but I can promise if it happens, it's going to be special because it'll be the first time, and it'll be something that we were directly involved in making happen, and. I mean, I think, you know, back in the day you were selling kind of a different vision, and then we've accomplished that, and now, you know, now there's kind of a grander scale vision that we're trying to sell and see if it resonates with people.
Well, you've got the championship game that you've never reached, correct?
Exactly.
I mean, there's a goal right there.
Yeah, I mean, our kids are really motivated right now, and
yeah,
they're well aware of it, and they're well aware of that history, and they want to make history, so it. Hopefully we can put together another good game on Friday.
Well, this has been an incredible fall season for both Beaver soccer and Beaver football. It seems like it's kind of contagious. Do you kind of feel that when you're on campus around the football and the soccer people?
Yeah, it makes it more exciting, and it kind of becomes a shared experience that you can kind of bond together with and both encourage each other. Yeah, so it is neat. It's special.
Both games are football. Old world,
right,
European football,
exactly.
And American football.
Right, right, yep.
So what time is the game on Friday?
2:00.
And do you know the opponent yet?
No.
No, they're playing right now. It was 0-0 at halftime when I left.
It is 0-0 in the 50th minute.
Okay.
So still, yeah. Concordia St. Paul or Minot State. I believe Minot State was a tough battle for you guys this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a 2-0 game at their place. And, I mean, this time of the year, anyone you play is going to be quality. You know, so whether it's the semis here or the NCAA tournament, whoever you play is going to be good enough to beat you, just like today's opponent was, you know. And
past history will show you it's possible because you've been bounced, I mean,
yeah.
As the higher seed in the other undefeated seasons.
No doubt, yeah. And, you know, the one seed in our region right now, their first round – they went to overtime. So you got familiar opponents and you got good opponents. So the games can be kind of grinded out kind of type of games.
Well, when I talked to Sarah Went in the post game, she'll be my pre-game player profile too on Friday. I asked her, what, you know, what makes it special about being able to play at home? And she's like, we don't have to worry about being in a random hotel. We can sleep in our own beds. I mean, that's so important that they don't have to be on a bus.
Yeah.
You've done this now 5 consecutive years hosting the NSIC tournament, but how much more important is it that you're at home this weekend?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, because like we were just discussing, like the, you know, the margin of error, the, you know, the difference between winning and losing at this point in the season is so slim. All the little things start to add up, the sleep, the, you know, the hydration, the nutrition, all the mental stuff. So just being in a familiar place, like you said, and because it's difficult to win on the road. Mm-hmm. It is difficult to get on a long bus ride and then spend a day in a hotel, and it's not easy.
Well, I know everybody that's won today in the NSAC tournament were the home teams. So Augustana defeated St. Cloud State 2-1. Minnesota State over UMary 1-0. Of course, Bemidji State 2-0 over Northern State. And we got a scoreless game going on right now at Minot. It doesn't get any tighter in any of those matches with that caliber of teams, of course, at home, or even if the road team possibly pulls out a victory tonight. So
yeah, it's a player too, and that's kind of how playoff soccer works, and I guess playoff in general, and pretty much any sport, you know, because you're kind of down to the best of the best, and both teams can play.
Jim Stone, head coach of the BSU Beaver soccer team, continuing their postseason play. They are headed to the semifinals on Friday. They'll take on the winner of Concordia St. Paul and Minot State, who are playing right now. We come back with the coach when we return right here. It's the Coach's Huddle from the Tavern on South Shore. Join us. We're giving away prizes. We got all kinds of good stuff. What is it?
Gift cards.
Gift cards.
Tickets.
And
football tickets.
Football tickets and all kinds of good stuff for our giveaways.
And we have dill pickled chips, right?
Chips and ticks.
Chips
and ticks. That's what we're giving away here tonight. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Coach's Huddle from the Tavern on South Shore on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, the river. The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS FM, the river.
Welcome back to the Coach's Huddle here at the Tavern on the South Shore. Our food just arrived. That was good timing, I guess.
Make room for the cheese curds.
Yes, make room for the cheese curds.
Very important. I'm going to eat half your cheese curds if you leave them right there.
That's why you're here, right, Missy?
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
I'll just ask a question, take a bite, right? Isn't that how that works?
That is how it works. No doubt. Good crowd out here tonight. It's still time for you to join us.
Yeah, we've got still got some prizes to give away. We got three more prizes to give away. All right, Jody wants me to just give these away. We're going to just do this, right?
A live giveaway on air.
A live giveaway on air.
This is big.
All right, I got.
But you got to go somewhere?
Yeah, she's got stuff to do. 3181.
Oh, 3181. Who's got it?
Going once, going twice.
I don't know if we're as loud as you are.
I don't think, I'm not as loud. So we'll leave that one. Okay. We'll draw some more here in a sec. We are joined by the head coach of the BSU Beaver soccer team, Jim Stone. And
have you ever been introduced by a live drawing, live on air, coach? I mean, is that a first for you in life?
I think that is a first.
Yeah, you've lived a full life then.
Yes. I have arrived.
You have.
Your team is ranked number 6 right now in the country. Still number 2 in the Central Regional poll, the last time I looked. How much does your team and you and your coaching staff pay attention to those rankings?
Well, the regional ones we really pay attention to because, I mean, more so as coaches, I would say, because that's your ticket into the NCAA tournament, and that's where everyone wants to go. You know, you can't get to a Final Four, win a national championship unless you make the tournament, right? So Yeah, we pay quite a bit of attention to that.
What is it? You have to be in the top, whatever, that you're guaranteed to be in the postseason.
Well, you're
sixth in the country, but the regional rankings are what matters first.
Right, because the regional rankings are NCAA. The national ranking is coaches' poll.
Right, that which means nothing really when it comes
Correct.
Down to it.
So, there's different numeric boxes. They've tried to become more and more transparent over the years, so you can kind of go in and look at the math and kind of see what's going on. And some coaches will even kind of schedule around those boxes.
Right.
In terms of who you play, because strength of schedule comes into play. And, it can get kind of interesting this time of year, just kind of digging into it and looking where you're at.
Regionally, where are you at? I mean, I would think if you win the conference, you are undefeated, you should be number one or close to it in the region.
Yeah, we're two. We're two in the region right now. So your top eight go, but you're going to have three automatic qualifiers. So if there's an upset in one of the conference tournaments, that could potentially knock someone out. So
bid thieves, as they call them in basketball.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, exactly. So, you want to try to be in that top four to be safe.
Well, and you do everybody a favor in a sense if you won the whole thing, right? I mean, from your conference, in the sense that that doesn't rule out somebody else because you're going to get in probably.
Right, so... Yeah, I mean, obviously.
If you're on the margins, you're rooting for Bemidji State to win the conference tournament.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So you get there's an extra spot maybe open
right.
for your team.
Yeah, unless you're one of those teams that needs to win the conference tournament.
Right, then you're not rooting for us.
Yeah, exactly. Correct.
Yeah.
Right.
Talk about your team, Coach. Last Friday, you had a 5-0 win that clinched the regular season tournament or championship for your team. Seven different players were on the score sheet. And you had all three goalkeepers, play in that game. That's a team effort. You couldn't ask for anything better out of your team in that final regular season game, could you?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, like we discussed, just great to be able to get everyone into the game and to let them experience that and not just be told they're part of it, but actually feel it. So... That was really cool.
So what do you do now? You won a big game today. Pretty fired up, I would imagine the girls are. You got a day tomorrow, and then another big game on Friday. So is it pretty much rest and maybe get the meat instead of maybe practice tomorrow?
Well, I guess it's rest for me right now, but not for my wife, because one of our players, when we were huddling up, was like, can we watch the game at your house?
Oh,
I'm like, well, you better ask Heather.
So they're all watching it tonight.
Heather fired
huh?
a whole bunch of spaghetti up, and they're all hanging out
fun.
At the Stone Place. Yeah,
well, that's pretty cool. Yeah. But so do you give them a break then tomorrow? I mean, it's a lot of.
Well, tomorrow is kind of scripted. So tomorrow, the NSIC mandates you can only have a 55-minute practice.
Okay.
So we'll have a 55-minute. We'll have film, scouting report, and then we'll have a 55-minute kind of light practice and go through some set pieces, and just hopefully that gets us ready for Friday.
How many, for lack of a better term, steps, but miles, does a player put on in a game? I mean, because it's quite the effort.
Yeah. So, we actually invested in some GPS trackers this year, and some heart rate monitors, so we're actually able to see how much they track in a week and how much they track in a game. So, generally speaking, our players are tracking in a week about 20 to 22 miles, and in a game, on a high end, they'd be around 7.
Okay.
About 7 miles in a game.
Would be a midfielder, probably?
You'd think so, but it's and probably because of the system we play,
right.
But it's been our forwards and actually our center backs, which has been super surprising, and that's one of the reasons we wanted that, the GPS stuff, because we have these ideas as coaches,
yeah.
But they're not always true. And then we're able to kind of look and say, hey, this kid might need a rest, and what's optimal for their body. And
you can quantify it.
Exactly, yeah. You can kind of put some science and math behind what you're actually doing on the training field.
What was your major, Coach, science or math?
No. No. I was a physical education major.
There's some science there, some.
And I struggled.
Okay, all right.
It kind of reinforces, though, what you preach, which is you're all a team. And, there's probably not a lot of teams, well, not necessarily a lot of teams, but there are probably some teams who their forwards are not getting back defensively. Well, it might not even be their fault. It might be the system they're playing.
Right. No, that is a big piece to it, for sure. And And they have that kind of responsibility and that duty, and that's why we want to be deep so it can, you know, make some substitutions and not have bodies break down.
Now, didn't you guys play back-to-back Friday, Saturday?
We did.
When you tell me 7 miles, it seems insane that you're doing that. But
7 miles plus kind of the bruises and the bumps that you take.
Yeah, it's not like you're just running around the track or something.
Yeah, and that's one of those GPS monitors are kind of cool. They measure, too, like kind of like agility. So when you shift from your right to your left and the stress that puts on your body.
Yeah.
So,
that's cool.
Yeah, the Saturday-Sunday thing was pretty brutal. The Sunday games were ugly. You know, they just weren't good soccer because people were worn out.
You think?
When I was looking at the final stats, I noticed that both Hallie Peterson and Megan Dahl played all 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Those two are unbelievable. I mean, they've got to be in incredible shape, stamina-wise, to be able to perform for 90 minutes. And the way that they do, too. I mean, they're both right up there in the thick of things.
Yeah, they're special. They really are. Like, I'm biased, but I think they're the two best center backs in our league. And
well, the rankings certainly backing up your bias at this point.
Yeah, they're fun to watch, and they're just incredible soccer players.
Coach, at the collegiate level, lacrosse, men's and women's, different rules in terms of physicality. Same thing with hockey, I believe. In soccer, is it about the same in terms of the rules? You go shoulder to shoulder, you can get in there?
Yeah, very similar, shoulder to shoulder challenges, and you kind of get those 50-50s where there's collisions and –
Well, one of my favorite questions is about the technicals in basketball. So in your sport, there's cards. I see that your team had 4 yellow cards. That doesn't seem like
a lot
to me.
This season.
Oh, okay.
Not today.
I was like, wow, I missed that.
Where was I today? No, right. This season you've had 4 yellow cards, which is kind of, I mean, that's not that big of a deal, right?
No, that's reds.
That's like you fouled somebody.
You know, we've talked about this. You know, we've never kind of written it. Well, we have, but I don't know if this current team would know that or not. But, you know, kind of one of my goals is to foul less. And kind of stole that from Barcelona back in the day. That was one of their goals, is to have less fouls than the other team. And, you know, limit set pieces, limit opportunities that they're giving up. And 4 yellows is pretty mild.
Okay, and again, I'm not a soccer guy. That's why, you know, I'm asking you these questions. There's 127 fouls on your team, but only 4 yellow cards. So what makes it go from a foul to the dreaded yellow card?
Well, before I answer that, how many fouls did we have?
127.
Okay,
this is
many,
you. Your opponents had 143. So you were you won that battle.
Okay.
And you won the yellow cards where you only had 4. Your opponents had 11.
Okay.
And then red cards, which is disappointing to me, quite honestly. You have none. And your opponent only had 1.
Right.
So, I mean, what raises it to a yellow card from a foul?
Intent, isn't it?
Intent and then...
Severity?
Yes. Yep, those two things, exactly. Nailed it.
Northern got 2 yellow cards today, both within the goal box, and both ended up penalty kicks, and both went in.
Okay, so when you have the penalty and it's within that box or in front of the goal, then you get the penalty shot. If it's outside of that, then you get either a throw-in or a corner kick?
Free kick.
Soccer 101 with Bish is available on video
absolutely,
now.
Absolutely, man. And I've only been doing this for 20 years with Jim, so he's used to what is this guy? I mean, he doesn't know anything.
If you ever leave, there'll be a lot of candidates for the new coach. Bish won't be one of them.
You got that right. But the red card, do you remember the red card?
Your team this year?
The opponent got a red card.
Oh.
Now he's got
yes, that was an assistant coach.
Okay.
That was an assistant coach.
Was that a little mouthy?
Yeah, I think that's kind of what transpired. And I know him.
That's pretty unusual,
He worked our camp last year, so I'd have to let him share the story with you.
Work the camp and work the officials.
Yeah.
And a red card means you're out, right?
Correct. And the next game is suspended, too.
And you lose a player.
Well, not in that situation.
Not in that situation. If it's a coach, but if it's a player who's getting the red card, then you play with 1 less player.
Correct. Yes.
The ultimate penalty.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because that's a long game without that extra player.
Have you ever gotten a red card, Jim?
I think I have as a player.
Okay.
Maybe.
Not as a coach.
Not as a coach. No.
I think it's always so dramatic when the ref comes out with the cards.
See, and I remember...
Yeah, it is dramatic.
I remember some games way back when I first started broadcasting women's sports for BSU. And we were at the old pitch, and I believe it was against either Moorhead or UMarion. They were always one of those games. I remember you losing your cool. Mm. I think maybe got a yellow card. I don't remember if you got a red card. I don't think it was a red card.
See, why we brought you here to talk about you losing your cool and getting red cards.
No, it's okay. Actually, you know, it's been fun to watch the progression of this team because there were teams that would find a way to, like, get inside BSU's head on the field. Like, you could tell that they were just getting under their skin. And now nobody does that to you guys. You guys are kind of, like, got that, I don't know what to call it, stoic or just thick-skinned. Mm. Your players don't seem to get – they don't lose their cool out there on the field.
Yeah, they're more mature than their coach. So,
yeah. Well, and they leave it to their coach. That's your part of your gig, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But I think you're talking about there was an offsides call, and I kind of walked out in the field. But
that we just got a text from your wife. She says you're very mature for a sixth grader.
Yeah. Oh, right. Wow. Right.
Oh, boy. Well, okay. So today's game, the one thing that surprised me, there weren't many corner kicks.
Yeah.
I mean, the last game I think I broadcast, there were like 12 between the two teams, and today, one. You don't see that very often, do you?
No, you don't. And
what reason do you think?
Part of that's on us, and, you know, it's something we have to improve a little bit, just having a little bit more balance. Sometimes, you know, we have a tendency to kind of beat the defender to the inside when we're out in the flank, and we need to kind of beat him to the end line sometimes, and whip balls more in and create more corner kicks. But, you know, and also how the other opponent was playing too. So, you know, games that are more direct where balls are going over the back lines and you have them turn and chase, and then you have pressure behind you and you try to play it out. That style of play lends itself to more corners oftentimes. Mm.
Do you have anybody who does those fancy side throw-ins, the flips? Didn't you have a player who did the flip, right?
Yes.
Well, we do have a kid who can do it this year. But speaking of gymnastics and all that kind of crazy stuff, she like really hurt herself bad this summer on a trampoline.
Ooh.
So we're like, no, you're not.
Yeah,
nope.
No.
Yeah, Mason
no.
Schilling. Well, so we're like, no.
Those trampolines are dangerous, healthy. Man.
I know, I don't think it had like the nets or the safety net around it.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
So I think she got launched and then just got crunched or something.
I remember doing that as a kid. Man. Yeah. Those things
fearless
are
though.
Yeah.
We definitely got to see her. Definitely got to see her acrobatic performance today on that foul that was called, that yellow card.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm so thankful she got up. And what a great story hers is. Funny story. So the last game that I broadcast, not today but previous, her dad came up to the booth and introduced himself and thanked me for broadcasting their games and then told me the story of how you and Lance Schilling know each other. And here's a kid, she's from, well, they're originally from Minnesota, but they live in Florida. She comes up here to play soccer because she's been following your team, you, Uncle Jim, all these years and wanted to play for the Beavers.
Right.
That is the coolest story. And after watching her, she probably could play D1.
Oh, she could for sure. Like her club team had 5 kids go to Power 5s, not just D1.
Do we need to get her an NIL deal to stay here or something? You
know, like I think so.
Free food at the tavern?
I don't know.
Yeah,
something.
I think we do. Yeah.
So what a special story, though, that you get this young lady to come here.
Yeah, name and likeness deal.
Thanks, absolutely.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Now that we've used her name a couple times.
Right.
But how much has she added to this team? I mean, she's just a spark plug out there.
Yeah, just so much energy, just tenacious, kind of like a – you know, like a mosquito that just keeps buzzing around you, and you try to swat it 100 times, and it just won't leave you. And she's that.
How many more nieces do you have at the prep ranks who are all Americans? That'd be great. I just get 10 or 12 a year. Bring them all up.
Yeah, I have one on the team right now. Two.
Fort
really,
Lauderdale, Miami, right? All these warm places.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm trying to get my retirement set here, you know, on a coach's salary.
All right. Good luck with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you talked about corner kicks, and I don't know what a big deal this is. You didn't give up any goals off corner kicks this year, and you only scored 2. Seems like that's a little low. Isn't the corner kick a little bit more involved? You talked about there wasn't many today. It seems like it's a little bit more involved in the game usually than that.
I think we've scored on quite a few corners this year.
Yeah, I don't know if those stats.
That might not be accurate then, is what you're telling me.
So.
I think those are inaccurate. I think we scored on just in our last game two alone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Crimson.
As Mark Twain said, lies, blankety-blankety lies, statistics.
Right, right.
Well, I will say this. The one thing I love watching Bemidji State connect on those corner kicks is having, you got Sarah Wendt, you got Megan Dahl. I mean, Megan's got a great foot. You got Sarah Wendt who can just put her head on it. And she is so accurate when she gets her head on those corner kick balls that come out in front. I know you guys have scored more than just the two that are on.
Sarah's put in quite a few just herself, and then Hallie's added, Megan's added.
Well, you're 16-0-2. Have you guys been behind much? I mean, you have so many shutouts. You're giving up not many goals.
We actually have been ahead more so earlier in the year, but like to this Northern team we played today, they were ahead pretty late in the game against us when we were at their place.
Okay.
We were behind against Michigan Tech maybe and Northern Michigan.
Yeah, I think so.
And I know there was one other game we were behind. So
does Kid Rock donate to Northern Michigan based on that song that? Summertime.
So you'll play either Concordia, St. Paul, or Minot State on Friday. That's the number 4 versus the number 5, correct? No.
Yep, we'll play the winner of 4 and 5.
4 and 5, that's right. Okay.
Yep.
They're still scoreless.
We're still 0-0.
Well, you just got done playing Minot, didn't you?
You could see that game going to penalties because last week with those two, or was it 2 weeks ago, those two teams played, and it was 0-0 after two overtimes. So maybe that one's headed for penalty kicks.
So, Coach, let me ask you a question. Those teams are obviously not ranked as high as you, so let's just say they're not as good as you. And let's say it's Minot, and Minot in the second minute gets a cheapy goal. They go up 1-0, and they realize, you know what, Bemidji's better than us. We're going to go into that full 9 fullbacks, clobber it out. How do you tactically react as a coach to a superior team when somebody does that in a playoff situation?
Yeah, I think, you know, the old saying in soccer is, you know, goals change games. And they really can. And they can change the tactics just like you're talking about. And all of a sudden you look out and there's, you know, 10 people sitting on top of the 18-yard box. And you're like, oh, boy, we're in for one now. So, you know, yeah, you do have to kind of change things to change the way you kind of want to break them down. And then the game becomes a little bit of a chess match. And you make a move and hopefully it pays dividends. And then, you know, if you're able to equalize, then they're going to change things up too. So goals always change the game, and it's why you want to be first to score.
And so that's, to be clear, that's above board tactics if you decide to do that either side. That's just part of the game, you have to react, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and some teams will just do that
the whole time anyway.
From the get-go.
Yeah, I mean, they'll just come out.
They
want
to take
you
to penalties and take their chances.
Right, yeah.
Okay,
all right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I would think there's teams that are going to be, oh, we can't. We're not going to match up in a running game with these guys. Let's just pack it in.
Right.
Keep it 0-0. And, I mean, in hockey, you see that too. Maybe you can win. How's goaltending? Obviously, I mean, if you have this many shutouts, you must have pretty good goaltending, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we have three. We have three goalkeepers who are really strong, and we feel confident with all three of them. And, you know, right now Alyssa's been getting that starting role for us, and she's doing really well with it. And, I feel like that's a big piece of our team, and there's depth to it and quality and depth too, just like our whole team. You know, like someone had talked about, like, you know, who's your best player? And it was really hard to give an answer to that.
Well, yeah.
My wife was like, well, maybe that's why this team is so special, that you don't have a best player. And then,
I mean, on paper you could say Sarah Wendt. But
right, Sarah Wendt, Megan Dahl could certainly make a case. Allie can make a case.
Mason.
Yeah, I mean, there's a – and that's just it, though. You can keep going, and then pretty soon you're like,
wow. We would expect anybody ranked 6th in the country, that would be the case. That's a credit to you, your staff, the program, the athletic department, the tradition that you're building, is it's not obvious that it's, you know, Ginny and the afterthoughts or something.
Right.
It's a bunch of quality.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Why does a goalie get to wear a different color jersey?
just so she's – recognized, you know, that's the person who can use their hands.
I suppose. You know. That makes sense.
Coach, why does Biz get to wear a jersey and none of us get to?
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Because I'm special, and the goalie's special in soccer, right?
All right.
It's kind of like the libero in volleyball.
It is. It's kind of like
the special rules
like
for
the
that
quarterback
player.
In football now. Nobody wants to touch him.
And the relief pitcher in Major League Baseball gets driven in that clown car in the by the Mets, you know, that big apple.
Yeah. So does the goalie then get to select the color of their wild and crazy extra jersey?
To an extent, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Kind of like a goalie mask?
Yeah, and goalkeepers are pretty special.
They're different.
So they're you never know what color
they place kickers of.
Okay, so.
They tend to create, I mean, they tend to be, whenever I've seen them, pretty outrageous looking.
Yes.
It's like, you know they're the goalie.
They're okay, bright.
There's the goalie.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it helps everybody else is in a normal looking jersey. But.
And Alyssa Stambaugh today in her bright pink. You couldn't miss her. I love her signature colors that she wears. But the other thing I noticed, too, that keeps me focused on who's got the ball is the color of their cleats. Because Allie Smith, you can't miss those bright neon greenish yellow. Oh, my gosh. And I don't know how the opponents
miss
it.
She's blinded three opponents this year.
Right.
The lawsuit is pending.
Well, that's probably another thing the players are picky about, right? The color of their shoes, the whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. There's everything about it. It's like a, it's almost like a, you know, they're going
fashion
on, they're going on stage, right?
Hey, and when you're undefeated, man. It's fun. If you were 7-9, it's not so fun.
Hey, to play good, you got to look good, right?
Dion.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, we always talked about growing up, if you're going to have those, you know, those crazy
back it up
boots or the ugly whatever or the wild hair, you better be good.
Right. Absolutely.
I love it.
But when you're recruiting and someone, you know, someone who's really good has that, they really pop out. It's easy to remember them.
True.
Yeah, you're like, remember that kid with that, the two side, you know, the side pony and the, you know, the one green shoe and the one yellow shoe?
Yeah, see? Yeah.
She was the only player better than my niece in that team in Orlando.
You know? Right.
Other than the goalie, that's the way they can be an individual in the sport because they got to wear the same uniform otherwise, right?
There you go. Yeah.
So their shoes, they can stand out.
I do recognize players based on how they wear their hair. Anna Breffel is one of them. Yeah. She always has the top bun.
Yes.
And it's braided up the back. It's pretty cool if you see it up close and personal. But anytime I see her substituted in, I'm like, oh, there's Breffel.
Yeah.
That's going to take a lot of work.
A lot of that stuff, they've been doing the same thing since they're 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know, they wear the same, you know, pre-wrap on their hair. They have the same
headband
braided,
or whatever.
You know.
And I understand. I was looking. You guys are number 6 in the country, but you're the number 5 beard for college D2 women's soccer coaches in the country.
Number 5
that's,
beard.
You know, ranked one spot ahead of your team. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah. So it's.
It's playoff time.
Yeah.
Right?
It's going to get shaved when we lose, but.
Well,
I'm hoping,
that better
I'm
not
hoping
happen
I go
kind of
like
month.
Duck Dynasty and can get this thing
there you go.
Long and have some mice.
It's been
16 in there.
Years. Yeah.
This is my first beard. This is literally my first beard. I've never had a beard.
I don't
before.
Remember you having a beard.
I waited until there's some gray in there.
Doesn't it just drive you crazy at this level or now?
Yeah.
I'm extremely superstitious. And I understand there's a player on your team who's extremely superstitious. But, coach, you are not allowed to touch that beard because this could be the year. You've never done the beard in November.
No.
So there you go.
And all three coaches have the beards going.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I love it. So. I love it.
Yeah.
Well.
Copying the hockey thing, I guess, here.
Okay, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. If it works.
The sincerest form of flattery. Imitation.
Right. It's true, yeah.
All right. Well, our coaches huddle at the tavern on South Shore. We still have some prizes to give away, and we're going to let Coach Stone loose here. Because we got Coach
Bolte. Go celebrate and watch the film at your house with your team.
We're not going to give away his automobile?
No.
Okay. I had the wrong information,
no.
Coach. I'm sorry.
No.
You don't have to walk back.
Again, BSU Beavers soccer. They are playing in the NSIC tournament at home on Friday, 2 o'clock semifinals. They'll either play Concordia, St. Paul, or Minot. So we won't know until after their
Minot,
game.
Minot.
Their game ends. So come on out to the Chet. Cheer on the BSU soccer team. Coach, good luck the rest of the way. I'll see you at the field.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Head coach Jim Stone here joining us on the Coach's Huddle. We'll be right back on the Beaver Radio Network with head coach of the Beaver football team, Brent Bolte.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM.